Welcome to Vice Casting Couch, Season 1, Episode 22. I am Ryan. Joining me is John from Nashville. And today we're going to be talking about worms in Microsoft Teams, a video card heist, and YouTube's weird gaming lists. How you doing, John?
I'm pretty good, man. How are you?
Doing all right. Doing all right. I got I save a little alcohol for our talk here.
So oh.
Yeah, sipping on gin and juice.
I'm drinking chicken broth. No cap.
You feeling under the weather or something?
Just gotta get all them electrolytes back in me.
You know? Okay. All right. No further questions. All right. Do you want to start with one of your stories?
Sure. So, you know, everyone knows that the RTX 3000 series has been extremely hard to get. Manufacturing, you know, not producing as much, or a bunch of scalpers out there just trying to buy them and flip them, make a quick profit. Well, what could be also adding to that is over $300,000 worth of RTX 3090s were stolen from MSI's factory in China. They say 40 cargo boxes of these were stolen, which they say is over 200. They didn't give an exact number, but over 200 RTX 3090s, which currently, like, the MSRP is about $1,500. But because of COVID and the GPU shortages, they're going for more like 2,000 or even more on sites like eBay.
Yeah.
So whoever pulled this off, maybe they're making a big old Bitcoin mining rig. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to make a quick buck. MSI is offering they 100,000 won, which is about $15,000 for anyone who can provide them additional information on where the cards are or who did it or stuff like that. So if you know, you can get a little $15,000 real quick.
So you would think with the amount of surveillance that's in that country, they would be able to see who did it. But I guess
maybe it was the CCP. I don't know. I'm speculating right now.
President Pu Ping, he needs that. Needs his mining rig up and running.
Oh,
he's gotta find all those pictures of him and Winnie the Pooh on the internet. You know, takes a lot of GPU web crawling around trying to find those.
I'll quickly talk about it. I just pulled up the article real quick, mm-hmm. but. It was like November 28th this came out, but China seized over $2.5 billion. Well, this is pounds, it says. This is from a UK website. Mm. But 2.5 billion pounds of Bitcoin from a cryptocurrency exchange called Plus Token, which is based in South Korea. So
dang. Okay. Yeah. So it was like a server in China that they pulled it off of?
Or I'm did trying they to read through like, it really quick right now.
Or did
now.
They actually like hack in?
Like I said, I just pulled it up. It talking about the Bitcoin mining rigs in China reminded me of it. So.
Oh, yeah.
But
well, I guess they got a little bit more Bitcoin though.
Yeah, 2.5. That's no jump change right there.
Nothing to sneeze at. No. Well, speaking of vulnerabilities, I have this story here. So we talked about something similar in the past. We talked about networks in hospitals and how kind of easily exploited they are because most of them are not set up correctly or they're not maintained correctly. So GE, a U.S. company, they put out a bunch of devices for like MRI machines, like mammograms, ultrasounds, x-rays, all that sort of stuff. So, okay, John, what would you expect if you got a brand new router? All right, from, you know, freaking AT&T or whatever. Mm-hmm. What would you expect the password to be on your router? Like, would you expect it to be a complicated password or would you expect it to be a default?
Well, I feel like this is kind of a loaded question. Most of the time, they're a default being like password or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like even that, like, one of mine, it was like Motorola because Motorola made it. Mm. But I will say they have been upping their game lately on the all-in-one modem router solutions they've been providing. Mm-hmm. They have been random numbers, but those are easily brute forced.
Okay. Well, maybe GE can take some insight from that then, because they sent all these machines to hospitals with the default password. So probably something like, you know, GE Healthcare 123 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent it to all these hospitals with the default password. They're easily exploitable. The cybersecurity firm CyberMDX, they discovered the vulnerability and privately reported it to the manufacturer in May of this year. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency is advising affected healthcare providers to take mitigation steps as soon as possible. GE did come out with a statement saying that they're not aware of any unauthorized access to the data or instance. Because once you hack into these machines, like you and Aaron, I believe, talked about this in a previous episode where people were able to fake vital signs or something like that on the EKG machines. You're able to show someone is like deceased or something like that.
Oh, yeah. So they were, just because it was unencrypted traffic over the network, It had all the vital signals in real time. So you could either, say, capture it, do like a man in the middle, and then replay all the packets. Mm-hmm. Or you can even make your own packets that showed that someone flatlined or, you know, something like that.
Gotcha. So, yeah, this is along the same lines. If you're able to get into one of these machines, you can basically change the readings of what it's sending back if you're able to log into it, because the default password, you're able to get into basically admin rights of the machine. CyberMDX said that the passwords were available, they found them online, the default passwords, because obviously you're supposed to change them as soon as you get them. However, the hospitals aren't able to do anything themselves. All the maintenance and everything that has to do with the actual machine is done by GE. So now that they have all the default passwords, they have to call GE, basically, I don't know if they put in a ticket or whatever, and GE basically has to come out and change every single machine's password because they sent it out with the default. So the CVSS severity rating is 9.8 out of 10 because of the impact, obviously, especially now during 2020 when hospitals have a lot of other stuff to worry about. But they list over a dozen bottles of machines and for different uses that were sent out with this open. They also found that every machine had port 21, 22, and 23 open as well, completely open. Like not
21.
Not in listening mode, nothing. And if you don't know what that means, that's FTP, SSH, and Telnet. And basically, if you can get into those ports of the machine, you can send whatever you want and get whatever you want out of it. If you know what you're doing anyways. All the machines are Unix-based OSs, the proprietary software running on top. But yeah, so apparently GE, which they are the manufacturers again, but they said that they haven't seen anyone try to hack in or anything like that. But with the amount of tries that are going on between, especially like nation-funded like hacking groups, I would not be surprised if this has already been exploited and we just don't know about it yet.
So what were the machines specifically? Were they like MRI machines or?
Yeah. So they said the machines were used for CT scans, MRIs, X-rays, mammograms, ultrasound. And they name a bunch of other stuff that I'm not going to try to pronounce.
So their whole product line.
Basically. Yeah. All the GE healthcare product line that they sent out to hospitals was easily compromised. Again, they said it. They don't know if it has been exploited. They said they are not aware of any unauthorized access, but as we saw with, you know, multiple other credit agencies and banks and stuff like that, sometimes they're not very forthcoming with that information to begin with, and it kind of has to be found out later.
Well, another question, you mentioned GE has to do all the maintenance. Is yes. Is it just they don't give you the keys to like do trivial maintenance on the device, or?
I guess not. I mean, as far as I know, most hospitals don't have like an in-house IT team. The story was from Ars Technica, and they said the customers can't fix the vulnerability themselves, meaning the hospitals. They said instead they have to request that GE Healthcare support team comes and changes the credentials on all the machines.
So, you know, this kind of brings up the point that like medical equipment often, you know, just because it's so obscure, they rely on the security by obscurity. They think no one's going to look at it, mm-hmm. when the reality is people do look at it and people are concerned, especially when it involves your health. Like we've mm-hmm. seen this with heart rate monitors, being able to say you're dead when you're not, or you could say you're alive when you're not. Like this would be perfect for an assassin, you know, like, and obviously I'm going off a little bit, but you know, we've seen this with
conspiracy theory Mondays.
yeah. Conspiracy theory. But you know, we've seen this with pacemakers that had Bluetooth low energy. You could tell it to send a shock. You can see with insulin pumps where they're able to dump all the insulin into your body all at once. You know, and I think maybe hospitals need more funding, or, you know, these companies actually need to spend some time and actually develop the security models for these devices. Mm-hmm. But it's a huge tragedy to see this happening. Like we see this all the time with all kinds of obscure technology. Like for the longest time, radio was just left open because like, ah, you need like a $20,000 piece of equipment to pick up this obscure signal.
Yeah.
We're not going to secure it. And then someone found out you can hack a TV tuner and pick up everything. Yep. So
I think this falls squarely on the manufacturers because the hospitals don't really have a way of testing this. They don't have resources available for them to, you know, hire a team or whatever to test if this, you know, certain item is vulnerable to, you know, to hacking or whatever, if the transmission is being sent by clear text. Like they have no idea, but they just buy this stuff like GE Healthcare and they install it and start using it right away. And they just expect GE Healthcare to handle all the kind of tech side because that's part of their contract. Apparently, I'm assuming it is because they didn't give them the keys. They didn't give them any logins. So I don't know. In my opinion, this really falls on GE and, you know, any manufacturer who pumps out a product that is vulnerable in this way.
Well, and the other thing is hospitals oftentimes they don't have the best of budget. They use devices that, you know, they buy an MRI machine, they're going to use it for like 20 years, but yeah, the manufacturer often won't provide updates or better drivers. So like a lot of stuff still running on XP and Windows 7, mm-hmm. which Microsoft doesn't support too much no more. So that's why WannaCry hit hospitals so bad and like all these other industrial like SCADA systems, because mm-hmm. who updates this stuff? Like companies just drop the ball and they expect you to buy the new product.
I don't know if it's a funding issue or I don't know, or just an awareness issue, you know, just kind of a if it ain't broke don't fix it type mentality. I'm not sure. I don't know what it is. I'm not really in the healthcare industry, but yeah, it's kind of scary to think that you could go to the hospital and someone could mess with the output of your CT scan or mess with the output of your, you know, mammogram or whatever.
Or kill you with your, you know, with your insulin pump or your,
that would be a little more serious.
Exactly. Or your pacemaker. But
yeah. And it wouldn't even have to be intentional either. If someone just knew how to do this and thought, oh, I'll try that and see if that works. And then actually does. Yeah. That could have detrimental consequences.
You know, something I want to talk about, since we're talking about vulnerabilities, is we've seen a lot of chat programs. Specifically, we're going to talk about Jabber, but Cisco once again fixed 4 previously disclosed critical bugs in their Jabber video conferencing and messaging app that were inadequately addressed before. This left users susceptible to remote attacks. And the thing about these vulnerabilities is this one is particularly severe because it's a zero click. And there's about 3 of them that we're going to talk about. The first one, the most critical of them, which has a severity rating of 9.9 out of 10, is a zero-click cross-site scripting vulnerability that can be used to achieve remote code execution to escape the Chromium-embedded framework sandbox that's in the app. Mm-hmm. So this framework is used to embed the Chromium-based web browser within the app, so then you can access like websites and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But all an adversary has to do is they initiate a file transfer, and it has a malicious .exe file, mm-hmm. and it'll force the victim to accept it using cross-site scripting, and then it can trigger the call for the .exe and cause executable to run on the victim's machine. And like I said, it requires no user interaction, and because of that, it makes it kind of wormable. Like, you could send it, and then if it tells it to send again to the rest of your contacts. And it's all just disguised as a payload, you know, in your chat message. Like, one of the other vulnerabilities, and I'll list all the CVE codes at the end. It's a command injection flaw. The way it handles the protocol handler in here, based on your URL, it can make it possible for an attacker to insert command line codes. And all they have to do is put a space in the URL, it says. So,
okay.
Nice. Yeah, it doesn't give me too much confidence.
I thought I was gonna have to like think about the usability or utility of these hacks or whatever, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, before I get on to the next one, it's crazy. Like if you ever look at SQL injection, mm-hmm. like before they started fixing it, but back in like 2008, you could do like, what is it, semicolon apostrophe like 0 = 0 apostrophe or something like that.
Yeah.
And then it just dumped the whole database. I think I'm oversimplifying it, and I might not have gotten that command correctly, but that's how simple some of this stuff is.
Yeah.
Oh, let me put this in here. Oh, look at that. I got everyone's bank account information.
Sometimes it's that simple. Just the smallest things get overlooked.
And then there was another one. It looks to be a similar cross-site scripting attack. I could be misinterpreting this, but it just makes it sound like it'll auto cause you to open a web page, which then could execute like malicious JavaScript or whatever is on there.
Okay, yeah.
It's three right there. And the CVE codes are CVE-2020-26085 and then CVE-2020-27127. And then the last but not least is CVE-2020-27132. So if you want to look them up, they're all there. You can, you know, we'll put the links in the comments, but like it's pretty insane. Like I know Jabber's used in a lot of big corporate settings.
Oh, yeah.
If you want, I'll roll right into the same thing or similar thing with Microsoft Teams.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Microsoft Teams has another zero-click remote code execution bug that was found in their desktop app. But the interesting thing is it's not just Windows desktop app. Because Teams is cross-platform on Linux and macOS, this affects all of them. What's interesting, I thought this was kind of strange. Microsoft has a policy that it doesn't issue CVEs on its products that automatically update without user interaction. So there's no CVE for this. But this was discovered by Oscars Vegris, a security engineer from Evolution Gaming. He talks about how it's a no user interaction required and it exploit executes upon seeing the chat message. So all you have to do is see the chat message. And this allows them to access your private chats, your files, your internal network, your private keys, and personal data outside of MS Teams.
So everything.
Yeah. And because it's cross-platform, you know, it could go through a whole organization. They were making it seem like this means that exploit can also be passed from one account to a whole group of users. Thereby, like when you have your channel in Teams, it would compromise the entire channel. And this is another cross-site scripting flaw that is in the at mentions functionality that's in Teams.
Okay.
And it's a JavaScript-based remote code execution payload.
Which, so that one's kind of especially scary because if you have a like bring your own device policy as your company, I mean, it could get onto your personal and then you can pass it on to whoever else. So like, yeah, that's kind of.
Yeah. And so it just looks at the message. That's how it executes. Like say someone messaged you and you open it like, oh, what's this? And just looking at it, because it'll pose as a harmless looking chat message.
Yeah.
And then it, boom, your system gets compromised. It leads to the execution of the payload. It gets the user's single sign-on token so it can access local storage and exfiltrate data and, you know, execute any command on the device. So it's pretty severe. And it's interesting because I want to say further down the article, it mentioned Slack had something going on a couple months ago. Like, it seems like all these big, like, group apps that are especially being used for, like, telework being – all these wormable vulnerabilities are being found. And it's – I find it extremely interesting. I wonder what's driving it. Is it just more eyes are looking at these programs, or
I think it's just a bigger target. I mean, especially now, like you said, people are using this for teleworking. People are seeing that it is useful and are using it or applying it in other applicable areas. So they're saying, okay, well, if we can use it, you know, when everyone was teleworking, maybe we can use it at work, you know, so everyone doesn't have to be in the same room. So they still have it on their network. And if it still is exploitable, then, you know, that's a huge vulnerability. I know you said for the Cisco one that they did patch that, correct? How about the Microsoft Teams one?
It looks like it says it was addressed at the end of October.
Again, if you're at your company and they're using Microsoft Teams or Jabber, please make sure that they have them updated.
For real.
It should be an auto thing. Most IT personnel are pretty good about updating stuff, especially when it's, you know, making headlines that it's vulnerable. But if they haven't, maybe just make sure that it is.
Oh, for sure.
Because, yeah, if you're running on old stuff, like, you know, a lot of hospitals in the country, they can definitely be exploited pretty easily. So shifting gears a little bit, I just thought this the story was a little was a bit humorous. YouTube came out with on the YouTube official blog, they came out with the YouTube gaming's biggest year, like, blog post, right? So they had 100 billion watch time hours of gaming. And if you scroll through it, it all looks pretty, pretty what you'd expect. You know, Rooster Teeth is on there, PewDiePie, all the big names. You know, Fortnite's they're on the global top overall games watched, and Minecraft, Roblox for some freaking reason. But if you scroll down, it says the most viewed videos non-live in 2020. So you go down the list, and it's pretty, it's pretty self-explanatory. Kind of makes sense. But then there's two entries in here that don't make sense. One is by Superhero Games, and it's called How to Loot. This is the title of the video. How to Loot 230720 Angry Animal. And if you click on it, it's a freaking mobile ad, and it's unlisted. So that means it's so basically YouTube put just a random ad from this company, Superhero Games, and it's an unlisted video, so it's not like you can actually find it on YouTube. If you go to their channel, all they have is playlists. They don't have any videos actually uploaded. But yeah, that's on there. And another one, this one is titled EM 3-in-1 16x9 by Top Games. And it's another mobile ad about, you know, a freaking stupid person not being able to solve a simple puzzle. So yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. And obviously, we definitely link the videos in the description if you want to watch them. They're like 30 seconds long. It's hilarious. It's like I see these exact videos all the time when I'm like playing whatever on my phone.
Do you know how many views those videos got?
Yeah. So the EM 3-in-1 16x9 got 99 million views. And the How to Loot 23720 Angry Animal got 208 million views.
Hmm.
So the story was that originally caught my eye was through Polygon. I don't know if they just want to start conversation or they're just kind of a little stupid, but they weren't sure. I mean that in the nicest way possible. Not really. But they were kind of confused about where these views came from an unlisted video. But obviously they're just linking to this video in their games. They push this URL or whatever to the game. You know, you make this much loot or what, at least to me, this is what I'm thinking. They just link this URL to you make this much loot in the game and it pulls this URL and you watch this, 30-second ad and it pulls to your phone. Which is why ad blocking works, because it blocks, certain servers from reaching out. So they were a little confused about why it was on. I mean, I'm a little confused on why it's on YouTube's top, gaming list as well. But yeah, I don't know why Polygon didn't really make that connection. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just not looking deep enough into their article or whatever. But see, so yeah, it was a little interesting. Polygon did say that they reached out to YouTube and they gave no comment as to why these freaking ads were on there. To me, it just kind of shows the disconnect and the terrible algorithm that YouTube has, where they just care about numbers. They don't really care about what's behind it. Oh, did How to Loot Angry Animal get a bunch of views from this 30-second video? Yeah, slap that on there. Our algorithm says that's one of the top watched videos. Put that up on our blog of most viewed videos. I don't know. To me, it just kind of shows the half-assed way that YouTube is going about congratulating their creators. But anyway, that's just kind of my little side tangent. But I thought it was pretty funny.
Did no one like check the blog post or like, oh, here's the data and post?
I can only assume that's what happened. I'm giving YouTube a little sliver of doubt here, that they just kind of trusted their algorithm and just kind of slapped this on here. Or maybe this wasn't even a person at YouTube. Maybe they, whoever runs their blog, maybe is a third party and they just gave them the data and they posted it. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Someone obviously messed up because they trusted their freaking algorithm that pulled to random mobile game ads. Yeah, it made me chuckle. It made me laugh and I thought I'd share it.
Ha. Huh?
Thanks. I'm so happy you're here, John from Nashville. Your input is very much needed.
I mean, I was just ha-haing with you, like.
Oh yeah. Oh, must have cut out there. Hello. Yeah. Oh, must have. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I hear it now. All right. Well, I think we'll end it there before I get insulted again. I won't insult your intelligence with another lighthearted, funny article ever again. Thanks, John.
Oh, you're welcome, man. A1, day one. That's me.
Oh, man.
Tune in next week. for our podcast.
Tune in next week when John gets kicked off the podcast. Anyway, we'll end it there.
cut that out, bro.
Okay, cut that out. Okay, fix it in post. All right, bye.